And everybody needs God's transforming power. This morning I want to talk about God's transforming power. From the moment we are born in life, we need to be transformed. The Bible teaches that we are all born in this condition called sin. We are all born as sinners. And because of this, we must be transformed. Each one of us must be transformed. Every person that has been born must be transformed. It doesn't really matter about your status. It doesn't matter about your health. It doesn't really matter about your fame or your wealth. Each and every person must be transformed. We are in need of God's transforming power. It is what is going to move us forward. It's what's going to give us the energy and the ability to move forward in life, to live a life that is joyful, satisfied, and fulfilled. I heard about New Year's Day when they were having the Rose Bowl parade, and there they have a tournament of roses parade where all these floats that are full of roses go by. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's in Los Angeles, California. They do it every New Year's Day, and during this parade several years ago, a float just sputtered and suddenly quit, and it was out of gas, they found out, and the whole line had to stop, the whole parade had to stop while somebody went and got a can of gasoline, put it into the float, and kept going. What was amusing about that, though, is that the float was the float that belonged to the Standard Oil Company. You would think that they, of all people, would have gas. And, you know, it's so funny that often as Christians, people who have put their faith in Jesus Christ, even Christians sometimes need to experience more of God's power. Though we have been, we have the ability to have God's power in our life, many times we do not use that power. We do not reach and have that power fill us and move us forward. And that's what God's transforming power is all about, and that's what it does. And so this morning I want to look at this book, this chapter 1 of John, and look at God's transforming power in this chapter. You'll find when you study the book of John that it was a book that was written to second and third generation Christians. It was written maybe 30 to 40 years after Jesus Christ had already died and rose from the grave. And at that time there were a lot of false teachers that were beginning to come into Christianity, into churches, and begin to teach false doctrine. And John wanted to be sure that these Christians that had believed in Jesus understood that there was power in the Lord Jesus Christ and who he was. And he wanted to defy or defeat the false teachings that were made known. One false teacher by the name of Cerinthus was a man that was teaching people at that time that Jesus was just a personality that at baptism received the Spirit, the Christ, the Messiah Spirit, and throughout that time he was just filled with God's Spirit in him, and then the moment he died, it was gone. And he denied the person of who Jesus is and denied the power of who Jesus is. And so we find that John begins to write to the second and third generation Christians almost as a personal letter, telling them of his experience with Jesus Christ, of who he knows him to be, and the transforming power that comes through Jesus Christ. So notice, if you will, this morning, as you start in chapter 1 and verse number 1, it says, "In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God." We find, number one, first of all, the one who is the source of power. The one who is the source of power. We find that, if you notice in your Bible, the word word is capitalized, okay? It is the word in Greek, logos. And logos is a word that can mean, it's used many times in the Bible, and it can mean just a word that is said, correct? In many verses it is used just as that. But in this particular instance, it's capitalized because logos can also have personality. And you'll find that in the Greek it has a definite noun before it that is the word "the," and it's the Word, and that's why it's capitalized, because it's signifying a person. It has a person behind it. Now, to find out who is the Word, you must understand the Scriptures, and the Scriptures teach us in John 17:17, that sanctify them with thy truth. Thy word is truth. So we know that the word is truth. But who is truth? Well, John 14:6, or verse 6, chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So we find that in just chapter 1, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, it is speaking of Jesus Christ himself. Jesus is the Word. He is the source of power. And I want you to notice that in this passage, it begins speaking about his person. Do you know that Jesus is the eternal pre-existing God? The pre-existent God. You'll find that it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That phrase, with God, means can be translated literally face to face. It means that they were equal yet distinct. All right. Jesus isn't one of many gods. He isn't one of a particular God. He's not one of three gods that others would teach. But the Bible teaches us here that he is the God, the one and only God. Yet he is distinct in his role. We find that the Bible teaches that there are three in one, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and yet there is one God. Three persons in one God, and we see that Jesus Christ is all God. He wasn't a man that just had a Christ-like or God-like spirit in him. We find that he is the very God, the pre-existent, eternal God. And so we find that in this passage, it teaches us that the person and the source of power, Jesus Christ, his person is that he is the pre-existent, eternal God. Revelation 1:8, Jesus said, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come, the Almighty. Do you know that Jesus was in existence way before the world was ever created, way before that night that we celebrate as Christmas night when Jesus was born in a manger? Way before that, Jesus already existed, and Jesus will exist way after time has ended. He was around before time began. He will be around when time, this idea of time has ended, because why? He is the eternal, pre-existent God. We find that the source of power is Jesus. His person is the eternal, pre-existent God. But then John begins to let them focus on, starting verse 3, that he is not only the eternal, pre-existent God, but he is the creator God. You'll find in verse 3, it says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. You see that John is beginning to lay a foundation for these Christians. And he wants you, me and you, to understand, first of all, who God is, his person. Jesus Christ is God. But then he also wants you to know, and I to know, that he is our creator. All things were made by him. In him was life, verse 4, and the life was the light of men. But you'll notice verse 3 says, all things were made by him. Colossians 1:16-17 says, for by him were all things created that were in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and by him all things consist. We find that Jesus Christ not only is in his person the eternal, preexistent God, but he is our creator God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Our foundation of our faith this morning, the foundation and the source of all power this morning, is not found in the White House. And it's not found in a country or a formula. It's not found in any kind of government, but it is found in the person of Jesus Christ this morning. So we find that the Word is the source of power, who is Jesus Christ. We see him in his person of who he is as the God, the pre-existent God. We see him as the creator God. But then I want you to notice that John begins to speak about his character. Not only his person of who Jesus is, but of his character. We'll find that he is life. The Bible says in verse number 4, in him was life, and the life was the light of men. This speaks to spiritual life. We are all dead in our trespasses and sins and must be born again. Ephesians 2, chapter 2, verse 1 says that we were all dead in our trespasses and sins. In fact, Romans, in the book of Romans, it teaches us that the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We find that Jesus is not only the creator of life, but He is life itself. He not only can start our physical life, He is not only the one who created our world and created our life. And by the way, that comes just as a logical conclusion that we do not believe in evolution. Evolution is not true. It is a false teaching of how we came to this earth. It was brought up by someone who wanted to defy the authority of Jesus Christ, who wanted to deny the person of Jesus Christ. And that teaching is wicked and it's of the devil. Don't ever believe the teaching of evolution. It is not true. It goes against totally what the Bible says of who Jesus is. He is our creator, and He is the author of life. Not just life that we have every day, but our spiritual life. Jesus saith, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the only way that we can have eternal life with God. The only way. But He also in His character says that He is light. In this passage, we find that in Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. You know what? Light speaks of His character. Even in those days, back then, when John was writing this, that contrast of light and darkness always signified good and evil. In fact, Jesus, while He was on this earth, said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. The darkness speaks of that sin, and light speaks of what overcomes our sin. And Jesus is that one who can overcome sin. By the way, have you noticed that darkness has no power over light? Light has total control over darkness. In other words, the moment you walk into a room that is totally dark and you just turn on your phone, it doesn't even have to be that strong of light. Just turn on your phone and darkness goes away from where that phone is at. Now, there might be darkness in a corner over here of the room, but where that light is at, there is no darkness around it. That light overcomes that darkness. Darkness must flee away from the light. And may I say this morning that darkness must flee the light of Jesus Christ. And if you need or if you're wanting the source of power, of God's power this morning, it is found in Jesus Christ alone. He is life and He is light. His character is what we need to give us power. So John is telling these new third and second and third generation Christians, they weren't new to Christianity, they had grown up in church, and he's telling them, listen, don't forget who the source of power is in your life. It is Jesus Christ. And by the way, that's why it's a major thing. That's why we ought to stand up and fight for things like Merry Christmas, not Merry Xmas. We don't deny the name of Jesus Christ. Why? There is power in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we must find and learn that the source of all power comes from the person of Jesus Christ. We see His person and we see His character. But then notice with me not only the source of power, but I want you to notice the one who is sent to proclaim that power. The one who is sent to proclaim. Suddenly John sort of shifts gear and he says, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. There's one that was sent from God. I want you to notice, first of all, his commission. The Bible says he was sent from God. I like what David Livingston once said. He said, if we count it an honor to be commissioned by an earthly king, how can we count it a sacrifice to be commissioned by a heavenly king? We find that John here was commissioned by God himself. There was a man sent from God to us. There was a man, he says, sent from God whose name was John. His commission, we find the human element of communicating this power. We know the source of power is Jesus Christ himself, but then we find the human element of communicating that power. Do you know that God could have used of any other way to communicate his truth? God could have used an angel. Do you know that angels are much more powerful, much more intelligent than we are? In fact, the Bible teaches us or says that we're a little bit lower. We're made a little bit lower than the angels. In physical strength, we are way outmatched. In one night, the Bible teaches us in 1 Kings that one angel killed 250,000 people by himself. One angel. And you can imagine if there's a host of angels, we have no chance against an angel if we have to fight physically. But let me tell you something, even intellectually. They are far above us in every way. And yet, God did not choose an angel to communicate his truth. You'll notice that it doesn't say in verse number 6, there was an angel sent from God. But there was a man sent from God. His commission was from God. Jeremiah 1:5 says, before you were informed in your mother's womb, I knew you. Do you know that I don't know what your condition or who you are this morning, but God knows who you are. God has a plan for you and for me. Each and every one of us, God has made available his power. Even before you knew about God, God's power was there. And here we find that there is a man that was commissioned to communicate this power. And I like that the Bible here mentions that his name was John. It almost sounds like a throwaway sentence, you know. There's a man sent from God. His name was John. But you ever looked up the name John? Do you know what the name John means? It means Jehovah is gracious. God is gracious. You know who it was that was commissioned to give this truth about God's power? Those that have had God's grace in their life. We cannot effectively give or show others the power of God if we have not first experienced God's grace in our life. So we find that the one who is sent to proclaim is someone who is commissioned by God and whose God's grace has gone into his life. So we find that John, this man John, his commission was to proclaim this power, to communicate this truth of who Jesus is. But then we find his purpose. His purpose in verse number 7, the same came, why? For a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. We find that he has a purpose. He was commissioned by God. For what? For a purpose, to be a witness. Do you know that this word witness speaks to our communication of truth through our words? Do you know that God wants us to clearly state what God's what the gospel of Jesus Christ is? So many times we can talk to people, and I don't know if you've ever talked to someone that is religious, and they use a lot of cliches, right? Yeah, I believe in God. Oh, I believe in Jesus. I go to church. And they'll use a lot of cliches, but we find that a person that's going to be a witness, this speaks about words of what you are saying. What is the truth that you are communicating? Makes me think many times of what is it that we talk about? What is it that you talk about most of the time at work or with your friends or colleagues at the grocery store? The question this morning is if you are commissioned by God and you've experienced the grace of God in your life, then our purpose is to be a witness. And that's through our words. There's a convicting question that comes after understanding that. And it's this. When was the last time I, with my words, communicated the source of power to somebody else? The source of God's transforming power. You see, this man, John, this man who had received the grace of God, his purpose was now to share that grace of God through his witness. But then, it only just says that he was a witness, but then it says that he was sent to bear witness of that light that was a true light that lighteth every man that cometh into the world. And he says, and light that all men, verse 7, through him might believe. You know that light there, the witness speaks of our verbal usage, but that light speaks of our actions. It speaks to the actions of what John had in his life. It speaks to our communication of truth through what we do. 1 Peter 1:16 says, be ye holy, for I am holy, saith the Lord. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. This doesn't really speak about what you're talking about, but how you are living. You know that as Christians, as people that have received the grace of God, we are to live different lives. We are to live lives that are holy. If you're saying, what does that mean, that word holy means? It means set apart. Set apart for a special purpose. You know, there are two sides of holiness. There's a side that says we are to depart from evil, get away from those things that are wrong, but then the other side of holiness is making ourselves apart for things that are right. Not only do I shun away things that are wrong, but that means I accept and live things that are right. One of the saddest truths about churches today is that they're denying this truth. They're accepting a false kind of theology and thinking that says, well, if we can just get a little bit of what people are comfortable with, then we can reach them with the truth. Did you know that light and darkness have nothing in common? Do you know that they are total opposites? And sometimes, listen, it's not comfortable to hear. Sometimes it's not comfortable to talk about. Sometimes it's not comfortable to have in one's life. But it's what's needed. It's the power of God. We find that John, who was commissioned by God to communicate this truth, is to do it in what he says and how he lives his life. And I say that this morning, that commission is the same for you and me. We are commissioned, those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, that have the grace of God in them. Our commission is the same. We are to speak the truth of God, and we are to live the truth of God. We find that John, speaking to these Christians, tells us of the source of power, the one who is the source of power, the one who is sent to proclaim. But thirdly, notice with me this morning, the one who is saved to be his people. The one who is saved to be his people. Look at verse number 10. Says he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Verse 11, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to the end gave he power to become the sons of God. I want you to notice, first of all, as the one who is saved to be his people, I want you to notice that John, first of all, talks about those who have rejected him. He was a light, John says, Jesus Christ. He was that light that was going to come into the world, that was going to light every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, but he said, and the world that it was made by him knew him not. Do you know that Jesus, when he came, the very source of the power of God when he came was rejected. His authority was rejected. Though he was the creator, and as our creator, he has all power over us. It's sort of like when you think about it, us that have our parents still around. When we are born, our parents have authority over us. We were given, God gave us to that family. God, by the way, knows who your mom was going to be and your dad was going to be. And he placed you in that family. And that authority is given to that mom and dad to instruct that child. In fact, if and there's been many cases in the United States where a parent was negligent and has to go to prison because of that negligence. Sometimes children face consequences of their parents' negligence. As we've seen many times, even here in the Valley, with our extreme heat, where a parent leaves a child in the van, and no one really blames that child. Why didn't that child get up and open the door and get out? We say, where's the parent? Why do you leave that child there? Why? That parent has that authority there. He's the one that's in charge. Why? Because you created that baby. And now we find that Jesus, the creator of our universe, comes to this world and he is rejected. The world that he made knew him not. They rejected his authority, and so it is today. There are many that want to reject the authority of God. I don't know how many of you have drawn the correlation, but from 1962, when they took prayer out of our schools, the amount of violence that has gone up. And they want to blame everything except that source of why it's there. Well, it's the gun control. We can just control the guns. Okay, let's just control all the guns. Fine. But I'll remind you that Cain did not have any gun to kill Abel. It was sin that brought him to that place. And the only answer to sin is Jesus Christ. And if we do not accept his authority, let me tell you what happens. You begin to try to get prayer out of your schools, and then you want to get the Ten Commandments out of your schools. And suddenly sin becomes, and darkness becomes to overtake everything. It makes it ugly. It makes things lost and murky. Notice that in the dark, you don't see as well as in the light. In the darkness, you run into every problem, every obstacle that's in your way, because you never see it there. The light helps you to avoid those things. And we find that when the light came into our world, he was rejected. His authority was rejected as our creator. Then his person was rejected. So, and then he came to his own, and his own knew him not. You find that that speaks of what he stands for. He said, fine, if you don't want to worship and follow me as your creator, God, as the authority in your life, then let me just tell you what I stand for and who I am. You'll notice if you read the Gospels that Jesus Christ was hated not because he robbed people. He never beat anybody. He never stole from anybody. He never lied about anybody. They hated him because of what he stood for. By the way, it's the same with us today. If you will stand for what is right, you will be despised by our media. You'll be despised by the so-called people of this world that know everything and that are in charge of what is cool and not cool and what is right and not right. You'll be despised. Not because we do something to them, but because of what we stand for. Just remember that the one who is the source of all power knows exactly what that means. And by the way, that's why we need his transforming power. To help us be the light that we ought to be. So John starts with the rejection and ends in verse 12 with the reception. You'll notice that not all have rejected him. He says in verse 12, but as many as received him. I want you to notice not only the rejection, but his reception. The reception of his forgiveness. Jesus is the only one that has the power to forgive. He's the only one that has the power to save. John chapter 3, verse 36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not on the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. We find that his reception, those that received him received that forgiveness. They received that light. They received that life. And then we find that not only do they receive the forgiveness of sin, but they receive a new family. And therein lies the transforming power of God. It's not only what it can do for us on our daily basis, but what it will do for your eternal destination. It might be this morning that you are here and you've never really received that power. Oh, you may know a lot about that power and you may heard the story of that power, but you've never experienced that transforming power. You see, there are many this morning that would say, oh, we are all children of God. But that is also a false teaching. We're not all children of God. We are all creatures of God. We are all God's creation, but we are not all children of God. You find the Bible teaches us here in verse 12, only as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Those that receive, not only receive the forgiveness of sin, but they receive a new family, a new name. We no longer are sons of the devil, but now sons of God. We find that the transforming power that we need today is found in Jesus Christ. We find that those that have received that grace are sent to proclaim it. And those that have not, today you can receive that power. As many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Look at verse number 13 says, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You know that there's nothing that you can do on your own to receive this power. It is a gift from God that you must receive. It's not of the will of man, it's not of the will of flesh, but of God. It is a gift of God. That word to believe, John uses it more in this gospel, more than any other gospel. He talks about believe, 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 believe. What does believe mean? In Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says, it says that if we confess the Lord Jesus Christ with our mouth and believe in our heart that he hath raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's what believe means. Believe is something that you put your faith in that leads you to action, where you put your faith in someone. I love this illustration that I always use with the young people about the the outlets. Listen, I have never in my life stuck my two fingers in that outlet. Never. But here's what I believe. That if I do that, I will get shocked. I believe it to the point that I've never, ever stuck my fingers in a socket. Never experienced the shock of that, my heart stopping because of it. Never. You know, belief leads you to an action. When you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, as many as received in them that believed on his name, believe his person, that he is that light, that he is the source of power. When you believe on him, that means you leave everything else behind. That means I don't believe on what the priest told me, and I don't believe what I heard on the news, and I believe what the Bible, the Word says. And those that believe on the name of Jesus Christ, those are the ones that have a transforming power. This morning, as you think about God's transforming power, I wonder, are you one that is proclaiming it if you've received it? Do you know the source of power this morning? Or perhaps you're here this morning saying, listen, I've known a lot about that power, but I've never experienced it in my life. And hopefully today will be that day when you say, listen, I'm going to stop believing everything else. I'm just going to believe Jesus Christ. I hope that this morning will be that day. Let's go ahead and pray.